the Mehrvan Devahuti, Dakshaya, Antundaksha, Adat,
hand it over,
Prasuti,
the youngest daughter,
Cha,
also,
Yatha,
where from,
Apuritam,
is fulfilled.
Jagat,
the whole world.
The father Manu handed over his first daughter Akuti to the sage Ruchi, the middle daughter Devahuti to the sage Kardama, and the youngest Prasuti to Daksha. From them, all the world filled with population. Report by His Divine Grace, the history of the creation of the population of the universe is given herewith. Brahma is the original living creature in the universe, from whom were generated the Manu Swayambhuva and his wife Shatrupa. From Manu, two sons and three daughters were born, and from them all the population in different planets has sprung up until now. Therefore, Brahma is known as the grandfather of everyone, and the personality of Godhead, being the father of Brahma, is known as the great grandfather of all living beings. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita as follows. Vayurya Mognir Varuna Sashanka Prajapatis Tvam Prapithamahascha Namo Namaste Stu Sahasra Kritva Unascha Bhuyopi Namo Namaste. You are the Lord of Air, the Supreme Justice Yama, the Fire and the Lord of Rains. You are the Moon, and you are the Great Grandfather. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the third canto, 12th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Creation of the Kumaras and Others. Om Agyam
Jnananjana Shatakaya Chakshurunitam Jena Asmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Namavishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutare Swayam Rupakatamayam Radhishvapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vrindavanam, Shri Guru Vaishnavanscha, Shri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahana Brahmavanvitam, Dhamsa Jivanam, Sarvetam, Sadhutam, Parijana Saitam, Krishna Chaitanya Deva, Shri Radha, Krishna Pada Sahara Kavita Sri Vishakandhamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Hina Bandhu Jagatpate Kopesha Govira Kanta Radha Kanta Namaskrite Thakta Kanchana Rodhani Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
The father Manu handed over his first daughter Akuti to the sage Ruchi, the middle daughter Devahuti to the sage Kardama, and the youngest Prashuti to Daksha. From them, all the world filled with population. The Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna speaks, Aham Bija Pratapi, that he is the seed-giving father of all living beings. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva is an all-pervading philosophy that pertains to every aspect of the material and spiritual worlds. The inconceivable nature of simultaneous oneness and difference. There are 8,400,000 species of life and unlimited living entities who are within these various species. So much variegatedness. But at the same time, there's always oneness. In this instance, we are all coming from the same source. We are factually all brothers and sisters. Whether we're mosquitoes, or whether we're prime ministers. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave an order to Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu to preach, this was his message. Go to everyone. Do not discriminate. What is their caste, what is their race, what is their education or economic condition? Go to everyone and give this simple message. Worship Krishna. Chant the holy name of Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is your real wealth. Krishna is your very life and soul. Srila Prabhupada emphasized in this work. We can have our League of Nations, our United Nations, or so many other philanthropic, social, and political efforts to try to create unity within human society. But unless we have realization of our real common connection as spirit souls, part of Krishna, the children of Krishna, there is no possibility of any substantial peace within this world. In this particular verse, Manu and Satyarupa are just born from the body of Brahma. And in the verses to come, Swayambhuva Manu with folded palms approaches Brahma and surrenders to him. Says, I am yours. Give me any order, and my life is to execute your order. He was sincere. Brahma was so pleased with him. He said that because you are respectful to your superiors, because you are not envious of others, and because you are really surrendered to execute the order that is given to you by the Supreme Lord through me, you will be empowered. Lord Chaitanya told Mahajana Gena Sakata Sapanta that the only way to perfection is to follow in the footsteps of the Mahajanas. Swayambhuva Manu is one of the 12 Mahajanas. We should study very carefully this particular incident from Srimad Bhagavatam. He's surrendering to his guru his father, Brahma, knowing him to be the representative of Krishna. Then Brahma gives him instruction. He said, you should procreate living beings. You should rule over the world according to the principles of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord, and you should perform yajna or sadhana for the satisfaction of that. And then a very key instruction he gave. He said, the best service that you or any leader can render is to protect all living beings within the material world. If you sincerely and honestly act as a protector of others, you will please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he will empower you. This is the first duty, according to Lord Brahma, who is the first guru after Krishna in our parampara, of a leader, to protect one's subordinates. Protection can in a simple way be classified as physical protection, emotional protection, spiritual protection. Srila Prabhupada, as our acharya, has exemplified this for all of us to learn from and to try to put in practice by following his footsteps. Here in Sri Mayapur Dham, we have been told by devotees who were here for the first Gaur Purnima festival, who are very simple facilities. And at night, when devotees were sleeping, Prabhupada was going around to make sure everyone had their mosquito nets and everyone was fed nicely. He was so worried about the comforts of the devotees. He writes in his purports that he built temples and guest houses in Vrindavan and Mayapur, especially so that the devotees from all over the world could come to India in these holy places and feel comfortable, feel protected. One of the first temples in ISKCON was Gary Place in London. It began with just a few devotees. But soon the Hare Krishna explosion took place. And Prabhupada came to Gary Place, Radhavanya Vishwar's temple, and he saw devotees sleeping on the stairways, sleeping in the hallways. It was so overcrowded. So he had approached George Harrison that my devotees are suffering. They don't have proper accommodations. They've given up so much. Can you find a spacious place for them? And on the basis of Srila Prabhupada's concern for the physical condition of his devotees, Bhaktivedanta Nair was purchased and developed. Emotional care. Srila Prabhupada made every devotee feel so valued. He was so encouraging. Either by a glance or a smile or by some kind words or by chastisement. Even when he chastised devotees felt, I don't know what their minds were feeling, but their hearts were feeling ecstatic. Because they knew he's chastising me because he really cares about me. He's trying to help me. He's protecting me. If we chastise someone and it breaks their heart, then we're not really following Prabhupada's footsteps. Prabhupada was melting people's hearts for his chastisement. They felt he was protecting them. I was a very insignificant, I still am, I say, very insignificant devotee. I was just doing some deity worship, milking some cows. I handed Prabhupada a little rose, a wild rose, that I just picked from the forest as I was going to see him. And he smiled at me with such gratitude. And he said thank you very much in such a way that I felt like I just built a temple. I felt like I just distributed 1,000,000 books. Prabhupada protected us by encouraging us and making us feel valued and appreciated for whatever efforts we made sincerely to serve Krishna. And of course, spiritual protection. Srila Prabhupada would stay up most of the night translating his books and writing purports. And he spoke on so many occasions. If devotees are not reading these books, if they are not chanting their 16 rounds attentively every day, at any time they can fall victim to Maya. Srila Prabhupada was writing these books and pleading with us to read them, pleading with us to distribute them to others, pleading with us to chant the holy names. And he personally, by his own example, was such an inspiration to protect us. Because if devotees are not protected, whatever else we do, it's like building a house without a foundation. Everything will fall. Because if we feel protected, we can feel empowered. And that by Srila Prabhupada doing that, devotees could take, they felt so protected by Srila Prabhupada, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, that they were willing to take any risks, even risks of death, suffering, poverty. That's how the Hare Krishna movement started. Because devotees took such immense risks. And how were they able to take such risks? Because in their heart of hearts, they felt so deeply protected by Srila Prabhupada. If I please him, it doesn't matter. Life or death, I'll go back to Godhead. Earlier in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport to text 22 that the whole process of creation, maintenance, and dissolution of the cosmic manifestation is simply for the purpose of giving the conditioned souls an opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead. It's the only purpose of the material world. And when devotees really feel protected, they can be empowered to continue on with their sadhana, to continue on with their fearless preaching endeavors. But we have seen historically, within our own society, when devotees lose that sense of protection, how so many survival modes come in for our economic situation, for our social situation, for our positions. People lose their sadhana. They lose their taste for the holy name. Quarrels between devotees over superficial subjects. Well, what does it mean to protect? To maintain? It is foundational in our society. Today is the appearance day of His Holiness Srila Bhakti Kirti Swami Maharaj, his beloved disciples, especially requested me, I don't know why, but they requested me to give class and speak something about this very, very dear, beloved disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Kirti Swami Maharaj, especially in the later years, it was his passion and purpose in life to encourage and protect the devotees in Srila Prabhupada's society. Today is appearance day. We think back of the inconceivable way he was born. A Vaishnava, who is to be the great spiritual leader of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. Was born in such a simple way. Christians cry when they think of Jesus being born in a little goshawk. Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj was born in a violent, poverty-stricken ghetto in one of the downtrodden cities of America, Cleveland. Practically didn't even have clothes to wear. He would just have one or two sets of clothes at a time. His mother would give away anything else. And being an African-American born in 1950, before the civil rights movement actually developed, it meant the African-American people were very, very downtrodden and persecuted. Your destiny was almost guaranteed to be born, live, and die in poverty and violence. Plus, he had a speech defect. He told me, even before he was a teenager, the neighborhood he lived in, you had to carry a gun. If you didn't carry a gun with you every time you walked out your house, you were subjected to being beaten or exploited. That was the law of the land. Someone tries to exploit you, you show them your gun, then he shows you his gun, and then you have some respect for each other. You leave each other alone. Because you know, if you try to do something to the other, one of you are going to die. How would you like to grow up in a situation like that? But he struggled. And ultimately, he was given a scholarship to Princeton University. And even there, people hated African Americans, practically the whole of college. Even there, he went to college with a gun every day. And he's a completely nonviolent person. He was a local leader of the civil rights movement, fighting for the justice of his downtrodden people. But all his life, he was looking for something deeply spiritual beyond all these material miseries and conflicts. And by Krishna's grace, he found everything he was looking for in Srila Prabhupada. He surrendered his life. We know the stories of how Prabhupada was putting so much emphasis on book distribution. At that time, his name was Ghanashyam. He joined the library party to distribute books. But he wasn't ordinary. He was doing such unbelievable services. He volunteered to go behind the Iron Curtain in the communist countries. And he was so fearless, so amazingly creative in how he was selling entire books of Srila Prabhupada in different universities and libraries and homes and all these different places. He would regularly send his reports to Srila Prabhupada. At that time, Prabhupada was going through his pastime of gradually departing from this world. bedridden. Tamal Krishna Goswami, his Maharaj, his personal secretary, would read the reports of Bhakti Kirti Swami or Ganashan Prabhu. Srila Prabhupada would rejoice hearing them. He said the reports of Bhakti Kirti or Ganashan Prabhu, his fearless enthusiasm to give my books out, risking his life. He said, this is the medicine that is sustaining my life. Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj said, whenever those reports came, it was a highlight for everyone to read those to Srila Prabhupada, because it brought him so much happiness. When Prabhupada went to London, Ganashyam Prabhu was giving a personal meeting with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada embraced him with tears filling his eyes. Embraced him with such love and spoke the words, thank you very much. Your life is perfect. He won the heart of his Guru Maharaj. And for those of you who have never heard the reports, I don't have time to speak them. Every day was amazing miracles. He would just put himself in the most inconceivable situations. Just leaving it up to Krishna to save him. Did Krishna be saved? Some years later, he went to Africa, West Africa. Life was very much in danger, especially in the beginning days with diseases and voodoo curses and so many things were coming up. But he was persistent. He developed temples, farm communities, book distribution, communities. Traveled around the world. Prabhupada so much encouraged his creative ways of distributing books. So he also had creative ways of preaching Krishna consciousness. Because somehow or other, in his heart, he had such a deep passion to reach people's hearts. And somehow or other, inject Prabhupada's mercy as it is. Sometimes his techniques were like some sort of anesthesia. So the people didn't really know what was going on. But once they got that injection, we see the result. They became full-fledged Gaudiya Vaishnavas, loyal, devoted followers of Srila Prabhupada. People that were very difficult and hardly anyone else could reach were becoming devotees. But as time went on, he did see how devotees within our movement were going through so many struggles. And sometimes those struggles were making them spiritually weak, sometimes even making their faith weak. And again, there was a deep passion in his heart to somehow or other reach them. Some people may agree with how he did it, some people may not agree. But what he was trying to give them, and what his motivation was something very deep. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in regard to the story of Lord Shiva drinking poison to protect the living entities, Srila Prabhupada and Sukadeva Goswami, they both say that the greatest service that pleases Lord Krishna is to make sacrifices in your own life for the welfare of others. That is compassion. He really did have that compassion. During the last 7.5 weeks of his life, he requested me to be with him. So I stayed there at Gitanagari during those weeks. Actually, I had so many other pressing emergency obligations. But when he looked at me with such affectionate eyes and said, "Please stay," I said, "I'm here. I'm with you. How could I refuse?" I'd like to share with you a few things I saw in this regard of his real concern and how that concern empowered him to inspire Vaishnavas. He was sitting in his room. One of his legs were amputated. Some of his bones were disintegrating. There were tumors all over his body, big tumors. He was physically emaciated, just being plundered by this most aggressive form of cancer. Usually to such people, you come to try to cheer them up. That's why people came. But the result was completely different. There was a festival in New Vrindavan, this festival of inspiration. And on the last day, he felt, and his doctors felt, within a couple days he would die. So probably 100 devotees just went. I don't know what happened at New Vrindavan with the festivals, but about 100 devotees went to Gitanagari to hear his last talk. And afterward, probably 50 godbrothers and godsisters came into his room. It was amazing. He was just so concerned, each and every one of them, everyone, was weeping in gratitude. Everyone in that room, ask them today, will declare it was a totally life-transforming experience. They felt so connected to Srila Prabhupada and to Krishna's love just by hearing him. The next day, a group of very disgruntled godbrothers and godbrothers came to see him. These are people who don't really want anything to do with the leader of ISKCON. For whatever justified or unjustified reason, they're bitter. They sat with him for about an hour, the whole time. They were weeping in gratitude. I saw before my eyes a total transformation. I knew these men. I knew their attitude. After that meeting, some of them who gave up chanting started chanting again. Some of them who would never go to the temple started coming to the temple and doing service again. They came out of that room. They all just sat down, weeping. They had such a deep spiritual experience. On another day, there were some guru coolies that came. Some of them had been abused. Some of them had gone to other monks to look for shelter. What I was seeing was unbelievable. Their hearts were totally melting. Maharaj was just speaking Prabhupada's words to them. in such a way. They were all crying from their hearts. And they all said, we never had such a spiritual experience. We never have met such a spiritually advanced person. After all these meetings, as I was watching, when everyone left and I was alone with Maharaj, I said, Maharaj, what are you doing? I've known you for 30 years. You've always been compassionate and you've always been dynamic with powerful lectures and amazing kirtans and always really concerned about the welfare of others. But I've never seen you affect people like this. The only thing I can think of is that Srila Prabhupada is really empowering you. He smiled. He said, actually, I don't even know what I'm doing or saying. These people come in, people have to pick me up and carry me, and I'm in all this pain, and I have missing limbs. But I just pray to Prabhupada, and I can feel Prabhupada showing his love to these people through me. And then he said to me, this is perhaps the greatest blessing I've ever had in my life, to have this cancer. Because in this situation, in this helpless, painful situation, I can feel Prabhupada's love and compassion coming through me to help devotees like I've never been able to do before in my whole life. This cancer is only a small price to render such a valuable service to Srila Prabhupada. Today, one of the most often quoted verses from Srimad Bhagavatam by our beloved Guru Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. Who is rightful to attain the supreme liberation of going back to God? One who, even in the most painful, difficult situations, can fold their hands and bow down to Krishna with gratitude, thinking, I deserve worse. It's easy to talk about, but to see it is something that is so beautiful. Toward the end of Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj's life in this world, the cancer was ravaging his body. I've never seen anything like this. Every day I would spend some hours with him reading from Srila Prabhupada's books and discussing Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna and Vrindavan. He made a rule that during my time with him, there was no other words to be discussed except the glorification of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, and the Vaishnavas. No other talks. It was beautiful. I had never experienced such intimacy with another human being. When really, the focus of our attention is lovingly trying to help each other to remember Krishna. Lovingly trying to enthuse each other to serve Srila Prabhupada. Try it. It's not of this world. One day as we were talking, he was just laying down. He started crying. He said, Maharaj, we are in the spiritual world. We are in Vrindavan. Can't you feel it? I said, no. I said, can't you feel it? We are in Vrindavan. What is Vrindavan? We're... there's loving exchanges of glorifying Krishna. That is Vrindavan. And then he said, we have achieved the ultimate goal of life. He said it with such conviction, I actually believed that I was in Vrindavan. It's amazing. It's a spiritual world. Another time, Ekavir Prabhu picked him up and put him on a chair. And I would read to him or talk about Krishna with him. And he would always be in rapt attention. Usually he was like a great general, just leading the forces, preaching. You remember that time in Mayapur when he gave that such an empowered lecture? He was so emotionally surcharged that as he was speaking, his hat just flew off his head. And everyone went, wow. But when we would discuss Krishna, he was just like an innocent little boy. Just gazing with such simplicity and love in his eyes. But on this one day, the cancer was so intense, his entire body was trembling. The cancer was literally making his body tremble with pain. I never saw him cry due to pain. But the pain was so immense, I could see that he couldn't concentrate on what I was speaking. So I stopped speaking and just chanted the holy name. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
His body was still trembling. He's this emaciated little person with all these tumors all over his body. Everyone knows what this is. When I chanted the holy names, as soon as I chanted, he chanted along with me. We were chanting together. Tears literally poured from his eyes. And the most effulgent, blissful, almost ear-to-ear smile manifested on his face. His eyes were twinkling. He looked at me and said, Maharaj, this is it. I said, this is what? He said, it doesn't get any better than this. He said, we're together chanting the holy names of Krishna, tasting the sweet nectar of the holy name. It doesn't get any better than this. And he blissfully spoke right from the core of his heart. He said, I would not trade the condition I'm in today for anything else or anyone else in the entire creation. Because today, I'm in the association of devotee, tasting the sweet nectar of the holy name. It doesn't get any better than this. From the time Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, his idol, of course, was Srila Prabhupada, and also Vasudev Dutt. Because Vasudev Dutt was willing to suffer for the welfare of others so that they would attain Krishna. For years and years, we would talk about Vasudev Dutt. He meditated and pondered on that mood, which Prabhupada so much relished, Vasudev Dutt. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he spoke about Vasudev Dutt, he glorified him as if he had 1,000 mouths because of his compassion to others. One day when he was laying there, just toward the end, I told him, Maharaj, today is the disappearance day of Mukundadatta, the brother of Vasudevdatta. And he just went into, he just started weeping. He became blissful. He said, this would be the perfect day to leave this world. And he kept saying, Vasudevdatta, Vasudevdatta. Prabhupada loved him so much. And he called all the devotees to his room in Gita Nagari and requested, I think today I'm going to leave. It's Vasudevdatta's brother's disappearance day. And he had them all doing kirtan. And he was really in a very, very difficult situation physically. And they did kirtan for several hours. And he was disappointed. He stopped the kirtan. He said, you can go. Krishna's not letting me go today. I thought he would let me go on Vasudevdatta's brother's disappearance day. But I guess he's not letting me go today. But Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, really, what he sincerely gave his heart, his life, his soul for, is to create community, to inspire loving relations and care amongst the Vaishnavas. Because he knew that where there is loving relationships, where there is sincere care amongst the devotees for each other's welfare, where there is really a spirit in a servant of the servant of the servant, then devotees feel protected. And in that protection, they're inspired, they're empowered to spread this mission and to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
On this very auspicious day, we offer our sincerest gratitude and obeisances to this effulgent, beloved disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who gave his life, his soul, to inspiring us in the essence of bhakti, chanting the holy name in the spirit of loving relationships with the Vaishnavas, and spreading that culture to the world. Let us bow down at the feet of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj in gratitude. Thank you very much.